His Hands and His Feet, an Easter sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Dear sinner, dear doubter, dear skeptic, see His hands and feet. The forgiveness of my sin lies in the hands and the feet of the crucified and risen Jesus.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift during the Easter season. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us during the 50 days of Easter.
The court definitely sees the problems that the policy of the university poses to force a Bible study group to be led by someone who doesn't believe in the Bible.
There's no reason for a public university or law school to subsidize discrimination.
He takes evil and overcomes evil with good. And if you have any questions about that, you look at Good Friday.
If the government can pass a law saying that you have to have a national day of prayer and the president has to give a proclamation, well then the government could encourage citizens to fast during Ramadan.
My wife was deposed in that lawsuit not too long ago, but is it going to change anything? Absolutely not.
Florida truck drivers, love issues, etc.
It is certainly an artifact of the Old Testament. You go no farther than I think, Exodus 12, Exodus 20, somewhere in that neighborhood, to find the institution of the first Passover, a bizarre meal, to say the least. It's bloody, it's a sacrifice, it's a meal. And then the first Passover is followed by the Exodus, literally the Exodus from Egypt. It is given as what God calls an eternal ordinance for His Old Testament people. So, should Christians be celebrating the Passover as it was instituted? It's kind of hard to do with no temple, no place to make sacrifices. Jews certainly don't follow the literal ordinance of the Passover any longer when they celebrate it. What about Christians? And what does the Passover mean? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Wednesday afternoon. It's the 21st of April. We'll talk about the Feast of the Passover. Pastor Thomas Messer joins us for the first half hour of the program. After that, still in the first hour, we'll talk about reality TV. Is it just voyeurism, very highly orchestrated voyeurism? Pastor Tom Crist will be our guest. Hey, I'm an addict, I have to admit, I'm an addict of all kinds of reality television, most of it having to do with cooking, but an addict nonetheless. The shows like Survivor and the others never really piqued my interest, but Biggest Loser, I'll be watching that. Dancing with the Stars, as long as they keep Kate Gosselin lurching around the stage, I'll be watching that one too. So, am I doing wrong? We'll answer that question in the second half hour. John Mark Reynolds will join us from Biola University in the second hour of the program for some response to the new atheist, and then we'll round off today's Issues Etc., talking with Dr. Eric Herman, assistant professor of historical theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis, about Anselm. Extremely influential 11th century, early 12th century monk, bishop, and theologian. Anselm of Canterbury will be the subject, and Dr. Eric Herman will be our guest. You can join us for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can email us, talkback at issuesetc.org. We get those emails right here in the studio, or you can Twitter us at issuesetc. Pastor Thomas Messer, long admired, I must say. I think I've picked his blog as Blog of the Week more than once. I think Jeff has as well. He's pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Alma, Michigan, and author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Feasting with Our Lord. Pastor Messer, welcome.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be with you.
There's no doubt that we ought to remember and learn from the Passover, but should Christians celebrate the Passover?
Absolutely. It's an eternal ordinance, as you said. Christians are always going to be about the business of doing God's Word. God's Word says that we will celebrate the Passover eternally, so the simple answer to that question is yes. Of course, there's a more complex answer in that we do not celebrate the Old Testament Passover any longer, for the Old Testament Passover has been replaced with the new covenant in Christ's blood. And so we we celebrate something better, something new, something fulfilled in Jesus in our celebration of the Passover today. But, the simple answer to the question is, sure, we still observe the Feast of Passover. We just do it in the way that our Lord has given us to do it now that he has fulfilled it.
So are we talking about every Sunday, Christians gathering for the celebration of the Eucharist or Holy Communion, celebrating what God instituted in Exodus in its fulfillment, the Passover?
Oh, absolutely. Every time we gather together in divine service and receive the new covenant in Christ's blood, the last will and testament, if you will, that he bequeathed to his Holy Christian Church, we are, in a sense, continuing to fulfill that everlasting, that eternal ordinance in celebrating the Passover. Jesus is our Passover lamb. He is the ultimate lamb, the final sacrificial lamb to whom all of the other lambs and all of the other animals in the Old Testament sacrificial system pointed. So, yeah, every time we gather together in the Lord's name and around his table that he has given us to partake of his body and blood, we are for sure celebrating the Passover in the new covenant sort of way.
Let's talk about the Old Testament Passover. Where do we find it? What was its, if you will, original intent? I mean, what significance did it have in its first celebration, which is going to be unique from all other subsequent celebrations of this Passover? What was the first Passover to do?
Well, the first Passover was given to the Israelites as they were enslaved in Egypt. We find the reference for the first Passover is in Exodus 12. The Israelites are in bondage in Egypt, and God has unleashed plagues upon the Egyptians. And he wants and is going about the business of freeing his people from that bondage. And before the final plague, the tenth plague is unleashed upon the nation. God gives Moses a promise to pass over his people, and the way that he carries that out is that he tells Moses to have all of the Israelites sacrifice a male lamb, a year old. And to take the blood of that lamb and to spread it on the lintel and the doorposts. And when the angel of destruction would pass through the land, and the tenth plague involved the destruction of all the firstborn in Egypt, when the angel of destruction would pass through the land to carry out that plague, he would see the blood on the doorposts and lintels of the Israelites and pass over them. He would not visit their homes with the destruction of the firstborn there, but would pass over them. And then there's a whole bunch more to this, and you're right to say that it is the first Passover was different than all the Passovers celebrated since. They were to take the lamb, and they were to eat it in haste the night the night of the first Passover, and the reason for this is they're getting ready to get out, to be released, to be freed by God, and to journey out of Egypt, out of the bondage that they were in Egypt, into the freedom, and ultimately into the freedom of being led by God, ultimately to the Promised Land. All the Passovers since are a celebration and remembrance of this first Passover when God, out of his great love and mercy and grace for his people, freed them from the bondage that they were in Egypt and led them out of that and into the Promised Land.
I've often wondered about this because for the Egyptians, the first Passover is, as you said, the tenth and final plague. It is the big kind of, what shall we say, the big judgment that God will pronounce on Egypt and all its firstborn and every household in Egypt. For the Israelites who celebrate this Passover promise, it's deliverance. It's two things at once. Talk about that, if you would.
Oh, sure. It's, you know, God is very specific. Every time he tells his people to remember the things he's done for them, to whenever he establishes feast days, observances, holy days, it is always to bring to mind to his people the deliverance he has executed for them. This is the great deliverance that Israelites continue to celebrate year after year. They were always God called them or commanded them to observe this Passover, like you said at the beginning, as an eternal ordinance, for the specific purpose of continually reminding them that he is the one who has freed them. He is the one who delivered them. He is the one who has saved them. And then to this day, that same principle, that's the same reason behind any observances we have in the church today is to call to mind, to bring to remembrance that this is all God's doing. We have not saved ourselves. The Israelites certainly didn't save themselves. And we always have to be reminded that it is God who delivers us, that it is God who saves us and him alone.
When we come back from this break, we'll talk more about the Feast of the Passover. Pastor Thomas Messer is our guest. You can join us as well with questions or comments. 1-877-623-6943. It's Wednesday afternoon, April the 21st. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at issuesetc.org or Twitter us at issuesetc. More on the Passover and its fulfillment in Christ after this.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our communities, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Sacramental, historical, liturgical. You're listening to Issues, etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues, etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, etc., and you. Welcome back. It's Wednesday afternoon, April the 21st. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, etc. Pastor Thomas Messer is our guest, and we're talking about the Feast of the Passover. So we have this fulfillment, and we talked about its Old Testament significance. Draw the connection, then, which I take it you would say is fully intentional and fully in mind when God first institutes the Exodus Passover. Draw the connection between that Passover and Christ's atoning work at the cross.
Well, I think you're right. I think it is fully intentional. And in a way, this is how God works. God is he's revealed himself to be a God who works through means. And throughout the Old Testament, the means through which he works are mainly the sacrificial system that he establishes, and they all point forward to their fulfillment in Christ. So yes, they absolutely have Jesus in mind. As Jesus tells us himself, the Old Testament scriptures, they are the scriptures that speak of him. It goes all the way back to the garden, you know, when God gives Adam and Eve the first gospel promise there, where he promises to send them the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head and would save them from their sins. And so absolutely, God has in mind, intentionally, in a direct way, through the establishment of the Passover and all the other feasts and the entire sacrificial system of the Old Testament, the fulfillment that would come in Christ. And now that we partake in that fulfillment in Jesus, we still are looking forward to the ultimate fulfillment of that in the great wedding feast to come. Jesus is the Lamb. He's the unblemished Lamb. He's without defect. He's without sin, just as the lambs in the original Passover feast had to be, who is sacrificed to atone for the sin of the world. And so in that way, his blood is the perfect blood, the fulfillment of all the blood that was shed before in the Old Testament, and makes the atonement necessary for all of our sins.
It is both a sacrifice and a feast. I'm curious about, and I don't know, it may have slipped through my ears, whether or not you mentioned the significance of the Feast of Unleavened Bread that was celebrated immediately before the sacrifice of the Passover itself. Does that have a connection?
Well, yeah, I think it does. I think the way leaven is used in the Bible, it's often used as a symbol of sin. And so abstaining from leaven would symbolize the new life that, you know, for the Israelites, the new life they had in Christ, the one who would come and save them from their sins, the one who was already saving them through these foreshadowings, these sacrifices offered in view of the ultimate sacrifice he would make. The Feast of Unleavened Bread pointed forward to the eternal life God's people would enjoy with him, where sin would finally be gone forever, and all of its devastating effects would be no more.
The Passover for the Old Testament people of God after that first one could only be for them a remembrance, a memorial meal, if you will, because the Exodus had taken place, and that's kind of how it's designed. And those sacrifices, while they still had the force of the Old Testament sacrifices, were pointing forward to Christ. Talk about how it is that the fulfillment of all of this, the Lord's Supper, isn't and cannot be merely a remembrance, merely a memorial meal.
Well, in the same way, I mean, you're right in the sense that it's all the observances of the Passover in the Old Testament from the first one had to be a memorial meal. At the same time, something real was actually happening during the observances of the Feast of Passover. The real lambs were shedding real blood to atone for real sins. Nevertheless, when we get to the New Testament, it simply cannot be that Jesus is establishing something symbolic or something merely or just merely a memorial meal. because he says in his own word that what he is actually giving us in the fulfillment of the Passover, in the new covenant in his blood, is his very body and blood given for us Christians to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of our sins. This, you know, in the same way, I always hearken back, though, to the Old Testament, in the same way that they actually did eat the lamb, so we actually do eat the lamb. It's not some mere symbolic gesture, but Christ gives us his body and his blood as real food and real drink. And, you know, the reason that we eat his real body and his real and drink his real blood is harkens back also to the reason they ate the lambs on the first Passover, you know, as strengthening, as a substance to strengthen them on the journey they would take. And so every time we come together and we eat the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, we are strengthened and preserved in the faith as we journey through the wilderness of this sinful world on our way to the promised land, just as the Israelites did.
Finally, then, there is in the New Testament book of Hebrews some discussion about shadow and substance. The shadow, oddly enough, kind of like someone approaching you with the sun at their back, comes first, and then the substance arrives. Talk about the Passover and the Lord's Supper in that Hebrews sense, if you would.
Oh, yeah. That's the Hebrews is absolutely phenomenal to, as you know, Todd, to get into this stuff, to the shadow and the substance. The fulfillment is greater than what came before it. The author of the Hebrews talked about this at great length. You know, in this case, you have in the Old Testament, you had animals that were, you know, innocent animals that were being sacrificed, and the blood was being poured out to atone for the sins of God's people, but only because they pointed forward to the fulfillment in Jesus. The fulfillment is always greater than the type. The substance is always greater than the shadow. And so the substance here is that this is none other than God himself who comes down from heaven and gives his very body and blood on the cross to save us from our sins, and then continues to distribute that to us in the Holy Eucharist to strengthen us, to feed us, to strengthen us, to preserve us in the true faith. And you know, one of the greatest passages in the Hebrews is when the author of the Hebrews talks about the better blood to come. You know, the Jesus' blood is way better because this is the blood, if you can wrap your mind around this, of God himself in the flesh.
What is the comfort for the Christian to know that we have as Paul says, the Passover has been celebrated, we have a lamb that has been made in sacrifice? What is the comfort there in the fulfillment of the Old Testament Passover and the Lord's Supper?
Well, the comfort is that that because we have that fulfillment, because the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world has come and has completed the work of our salvation, we know that through him we do have forgiveness, life, and salvation through faith in him, and that we, you know, that God is faithful to his promises. What he said was going to happen did happen. What he said he was going to do for us, he did. And so that comforts us because now we can also continue to cling to God's word in the same way when he promises us that he will forgive us our sins and that he will strengthen us and he will preserve us in the faith as we are gathered together as his family around word and sacrament, and specifically as we partake of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist, we can be absolutely sure that what he promises, he delivers. And that can be nothing but great comfort for us Christians.
Pastor Thomas Messer is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Alma, Michigan. author of an article in the latest issue of Higher Things magazine titled Feasting with Our Lord. We'll have a link to Higher Things magazine at our website, issuesetc.org, under the Listen on Demand page. Pastor Messer, thank you very much for being our guest.
Hey, thanks for having me, Todd.
When we come back from this break, Pastor Tom Crist will join us. We'll talk about reality TV. It is now everywhere. It is now always on. But is there something wrong with it? We'll answer that question on the other side of the break. The final Passover has taken place in Christ's own sacrifice, in his shedding of his blood. Now, his blood is the blood that avails before God, that turns away God's wrath forever. And so the Old Testament Passover is fulfilled, like all things in the Old Testament, fulfilled in Christ. And like all things in the Old Testament, fulfilled in Christ's life and his death and his resurrection. And there we find the true comfort of our Passover. When we come back, reality TV, Pastor Tom Crist will be our guest. Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry as a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
One Lord, one faith, one baptism. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Tuesday marks the beginning of National Pro-Life T-Shirt Week. It's geared toward youth, but everyone should participate. It's a positive way to spread the pro-life message and stand up for America's unborn babies. Wearing pro-life T-shirts can generate conversations about abortion. Then you have the opportunity to share the truth. Many people support abortion only because they don't know the facts, but you can change that. The organizers of this event also have a photo contest called Yo, Where's the Shirt? Contestants participate and then download their images. The winner gets an iPod Touch. It should be lots of fun. Get more details by visiting today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. You can even see how our office staff will be decked out for the event.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.